Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Im, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And it is good to be here.
All right, Ed, October 2.
Because you've never changed. You know, people come up to me and say, why is Daniel so stubborn? Why won't he change the introduction by this one word? And I'm just like, you know, I trust the Lord in this. I prayed for him, but God has not changed his heart. And I'm just leaving it there. One word.
That's
just
incredible.
Give me one word change in the intro.
Okay, sure. Next episode. Right, we'll okay, so believe it or not, Ed, on episode one of the podcast, so that's October 2, 2015.
Really?
2015, wow. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So on episode one, we discussed the pitfalls, landmines, and blind spots in church planting. So almost 5 years later, would you change your answer? Or I mean, regardless of what you answered then, how
remember.
Would you answer?
Yeah, I know. You know, I think they're pretty consistent. I mean, I think the pitfalls haven't changed much. So I mean, we'll have to compare. People can actually go back now. They can't find it on like iTunes. They have to go to the New Churches page and scroll way back, and they can compare, and then they can send in, "You're a terrible heretic, and you didn't do this." So,
okay, but how would you answer the question fresh today? And then I'll give you some insights into what we talked about back then.
Oh, you already know. Okay, so was it blind spots and pitfalls? So those are two kind of
and landmines.
And landmines. That's like three episodes. I think they're trying to slip in a lot. Okay, so landmines, pitfalls would be the declining evangelistic effectiveness of church plants. We are planting more churches. But according to the research that we've done in the process of planting more churches, we're actually seeing less evangelistic impact. I think we've become very good about church planting, but we've become not as good about sharing the gospel. So I think that really matters. So that's number one. Number two is I think that for a lot of times, for me, I was not paying attention to the needs of Donna to, and we still joke to this day. Sometimes the joke isn't funny, but she basically ran the children's program at every church plant, and that wasn't really her strength or her gifting. I should say every. We kind of stopped later. I learned my lesson as we went. But I would say not paying attention and pastoring your family first is kind of a big deal. Let me see. Pitfalls. I'm trying to remember. Pitfalls. Pitfalls.
Yeah. Pitfalls. Let's just camp here. Let's camp for a moment on the family thing.
Okay.
So The one thing that I've been wrestling with these days is how many times a church planter or even a pastor, how much is too much in terms of preaching? And there is definitely the sense of, okay, but not everyone's going to have a whole bench of, here's four people that can preach. And let's say you do want to bring someone in from the outside, not like everyone has a massive budget or if it's even wise to spend all that on honorariums for others. But there's just this notion of church planners preaching or pastors preaching more than 48, 49 times a year, and how unhealthy and how unsustainable that is. So, and how often that can lead to a neglect of your family, and you kind of sacrifice your family at the altar of your church.
Well, I will tell you that in the early church planning, I didn't have any like buddy else to preach. So I'd have to bring in somebody from, another church or something, which would be fine. But I do think, here's why I think the balance is. I think at first, if you're the church planter, they need to hear consistently from you, but consistently doesn't mean always. So I do think getting a healthy place and space where, maybe you're preaching three or four times a month. And if you do build a preaching team later, that's okay. But early on, the church planter, people are still thinking and trying to understand. You know, someone once said that to be one to Christ, you have to be one to a friend who knows Christ, and you're still winning that person over in a friendship and a relationship that may be. So I you might have a different view in this. We don't have to have the same view, but I'm thinking three or four times a month is a good normal thing. I might preach 6 weeks in a row from the launch forward, and then start doing it three to four times a month. Would you have a different view?
No, everything you're saying is spot on. I'm just wondering about the logistics of making that happen as a new church plant, and just how sometimes it's like, oh, but wouldn't that money be better spent in ministry, or wouldn't that money be better spent over there?
Pay somebody to make it bigger.
Yeah, yeah. Or it's like, it's my job, right? I'm supposed to preach. I'm the pastor. And I just wonder how often we place so much pressure on ourselves to have to be the ones preaching that we actually create a culture that's not sustainable.
Okay, so there's scenarios by which I would agree with you, but I don't know what you mean by too much. So what is, in your perfect world, how often would the church planter be preaching?
Okay, yeah. So there's... more than, 40 times is a lot.
Okay. So what does that come to? 40 times is, that's four times a month. No, that's not 4 times a month.
I mean, you're missing 12, you're off for 12 weeks in a year.
Okay. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying 3 to 4 times a month. So you're saying that's too much.
Yeah. Well, 3 to 4, so 4 times a month, right? That's like 48 times.
Yeah, so I'm not saying 36 to 48 times. I'm saying one Sunday a month you don't preach is what I'm saying. So I think that means 40 times a year you're saying is too much.
I think that's okay, but I don't know how, in terms of the super, you know, there's that notion of the superstar or the Superman pastor that can do everything and be everything for everyone. And I think preaching is one of those things that we hold on to, and it's like, oh no, but that's my role. I mean, that's the thing that I have to do. And it's just like, how do we create systems where it's not the only thing, and that we can be raising up others and build that into the systems of planting the church, where we do have a second voice or we do have a third voice. But yes, I agree that at least three times a month, the church planter should be preaching for the formation of the voice and for the issue, for the reasons that you had stated. But it's just, how do we, it's more of a question than me having an answer. How do we create sustainability?
I love that. You're just throwing out ideas and not any solutions. That's great.
Well, I'm talking to Ed Stetzer.
So no, I don't got to, because I love to preach and I don't find it tiring. So, you know, this Sunday I'll do 5 services this weekend, and I work full time at the Billy Graham Center. So I'll preach 4 services Sunday morning this week. And so, but again, I don't think everyone's that way. So what I would say is, I think that if you just took a typical pastor in wherever North America, that pastor probably preaches 3 to 4 times or more a month. And, you know, that small church in Saskatchewan or that mid-sized church in Canton, Ohio. So I don't think that's bad. I think that once a month, having a person who maybe persons. So I think the idea, I mean, you're a megachurch pastor now. So I could see that at a mega church where you've got lots of, you know, people with resources. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's definitely more of a bench. Yeah.
Yeah. Bench. There you go. Sports references are my strength. but I did recognize it as a sports metaphor. So that's helpful. So I would just say that I'm more of the, I don't want someone preaching every week. I don't think that's helpful. And if there's somebody that is gifted that you can share it with, praise God. But in church planting, particularly, I wouldn't share all my experience. And I've planted one that didn't go so great when we had a team of 3 people sharing the preaching. All my experience has been that one primary communicator in a church plant. And as the church grows, bringing in a second person who can help is great. As the church grows large, having a teaching team is more optimal. But I just don't see it as helpful among church plants in the first couple of years.
That's super helpful. Hey, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor for today, and we will get right back into it. It is now well known that planting new churches and campuses is the most effective way of reaching the lost, and launching in rented venues like schools or theaters is one of the most cost-effective ways to launch a new church. So if you're planning a launch or are trying to figure out how to do church well in rented venues, we encourage you to check out our friends at Portable Church. The team at Portable Church Industries takes your vision and creates engaging environments that keep volunteer retention high and allow more energy to be spent on ministry. Go to portablechurch.com/lifeway to learn more and find free customized resources that teach how to launch portable and strong. Okay, Ed, so we talked about the family side of things, right? We talked about, in that original episode, I loved this one quote. You were like, you said, the desires that drive you can become the demons that drag you down.
I still believe that. I said it more pithily than 5 years ago, but yes, because here's the thing. We're all a mix of motives. I want to glorify God, but I'm still trying to prove my worth to somebody. You know, I've got a father wound or whatever it may be. I want people to come to Christ, but I still do want people to like me. I mean, I want to preach the truth of the gospel, but I want to help people kind of take steps by steps, you know, one step at a time and not feel overwhelmed. So I'm this mix. We're all this mix. But I found, I was at one point when I was planting in Pennsylvania, I was calling the whole Rolodex, the whole church directory on Saturday night, just touching base with people. But really, I was desperately saying to them, come tomorrow, bring a friend. So there's more people this week than there were last week. And so my identity got so caught up in it. And church planting is a long, hard slog. And when you have your identity caught up with the growth of a church plant, and our church plant grew, right? And so I remember they gave me the church planter of the year, my denomination for the district we're in. I was like, oh, no. But it never... You know, when there were 100 people, I wanted 110. When there were 150, I wanted 160. When there were 300, I wanted 400. And so what I would say is
it's never enough.
The kind of person that is very, very entrepreneurial and aggressive, like Ed Stetzer was, I didn't necessarily always pace myself, spend the time in prayer I needed to. My identity was too wrapped up. And I see this a lot. A lot of young planters are this way. My identity was just too wrapped up in the success of my church plant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that goes for, I mean, not just church planners, but everyone. Yeah. So the other thing is, and this was 2015 when we first recorded that episode.
We were both young then.
Yeah. Didn't have as much gray hair. Exactly. But you know, I would add to that list in terms of pitfalls, landmines, and blind spots right now, you know, don't tie your wagon to a singular program, right? Don't tie your wagon to and your entire strategy on a silver bullet or on something like that. And I say that knowing the effectiveness of Alpha and knowing the effectiveness that churches who are planted with Alpha, using Alpha, how effective they can be, especially in a, I'm thinking more of a Canadian post-Christian context. And I've seen the effectiveness of doing that, but I also see the simultaneous danger to say, no, this is all that we do. We don't do any, we do Sundays, we do Alpha, and we do groups, right? Or whatever it is that you hit your wagon on. Don't do it at the exclusion of other ministries and at the exclusion of other of principles. And even if you are hitching it to the wagon of Alpha, what is it that Alpha, you know, what is the theory behind it? What is the thing that's making it work in this cultural moment right now that you can then adjust later on? So that, yeah, just don't hit your wagon to silver bullet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, silver bullet. No silver bullets. I've heard about that. so I know there is 5 silver bullets is what I love. Right. I would say, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned Alpha. Of course, Alpha, you know, what the managing director here at the Billy Graham Center came to my office yesterday, and their church has had 200 people show up for their first Alpha last night. So, you know, we're for that. That's great. Mm-hmm. I think the challenge is, you know, one thing doth not a church plant make, and you need to have, I guess to continue to mix metaphors, you need to have multiple hooks in the water to see where you're going to connect with people. And I think there are different ways to do that. Alpha is a great one. We're for that. And matter of fact, we're just going to, by the time this comes out, it'll be announced that the U.S. director of Alpha is speaking at our Amplify conference. I love what they're doing.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
But I think that the challenge is to find multiple ways. And what you find is sometimes that one way that you expected didn't actually work. And then there are other ways you can get engaged from there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So good. Awesome. All right. Well, if you want to compare our answers, go back to episode 1 that you can find at newchurches.com. You won't be able to find that on your, at least your Apple Podcasts app. So yeah, be sure to go back there and we will catch you next time.